Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
I go out walking after midnight.
Hi, this is Julie Fudge, daughter of Patsy Cline, and you're listening to Way Back With my good friend Johnny Woodlock.
Walking after midnight, searching for me.
Now, friends, following those great gospel favorites, we're back here on Way Back With Johnny. We're still coming to you, as always, via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios, located in Cornwall, Ontario, where this is recorded weekly. We are also being heard and carried over historic CFRC 119 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Ontario, the Limestone City of Canada, and also internet radio at www.oshawrocks.com. Now, with that all shared, I would like to welcome you all into the second hour of this week's program here on this great channel. And with that, we will be continuing the tribute to March 1963 tragedies that happened. Let's remember a singer that passed away on March 8th in 1963 en route to the funerals of the others. That, of course, is none other than Jack Anglin of Johnny and Jack fame. Now, Jack Anglin was, as the story goes, 46 years of age when he was killed on his way to the funerals. With that, we'll remember Johnny and Jack, and of course, Jack Anglin, with none other than a song called Lonely Island Pearl. Then we'll follow with another classic rarity titled SOS, which is another one of my favorites of the Johnny and Jack library of country music. With that, I'd like to welcome you all in to this, the second hour of today's program.
Bring your love and come on back. mistakes, dear. I'm only human, but in a showdown, darling, I'd die for you.
Friends, once again, it's that time in the program to welcome a very special member of our morning team to our program. That, of course, is Simbush the Wonder Husky. With that being a tribute to the tragic event surrounding March 5th of 1963, Simbush has her top favorites of the stars we lost. With that, let's begin with a cute little number by Cowboy Copas and a classic called The Talking Mule from 1954. Then we'll follow with a song I have always enjoyed by Miss Patsy Cline called Tra-La-La Triangle. We'll follow with that by Miss Patsy Cline, and we'll wrap up this selection of great songs by the legendary angels of country music with none other than Hawkshaw Hawkins in a song which was very popular during the Cold War period and it'll be when they found the great atomic power. With that, I'd like to thank Simbush for her contribution to today's program. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Got a mule named Joel. Joel's the darndest mule you ever saw. He's lazy and you'd almost think he don't know to even haul. But one day I ran out of dough and old Joe needed hay. The feed man wouldn't credit me till he heard old Joe say, oh, he'll pay you, trust him, trust him, trust him. Oh, he'll pay you, trust him, trust him, trust him. Borrowed some money on old Joe's mate and then couldn't pay it back. They laid down the rule, the money or the mule, when they walked up to my shack. Joe's eyes were sad and he looked real bad when they led her away from the shed. Then he picked up his ears and shifted his gears and he honest to goodness said, oh, he'll pay you, trust him, trust him, trust him. Oh, he'll pay you, trust him, trust him, trust him. Till his feet got sore, his hoofs wore down to a nub. The blacksmith wanted cash for shoes, and I'd spent mine for grub. Joe sat right down, and he wouldn't budge until he got his shoes. I sang that man a real sad song, and Joe wailed out the blues. Oh, he'll pay you, trust him, trust him, trust him. Oh, he'll pay you, trust him, trust him, trust him.
Mess and I don't know what to do. How can I live in this old world and be in love with two? If I said goodbye to my first true love, my heart would break in two. For I'm halfway still in love with him and half in love with you. Tra-la-la. Triangle, tra-la-la-la, triangle, tra-la-la-la, triangle, tra-la-la-la, triangle. What'll I do about you? I saw you at the movie show just the other day, but I was with my other love, so I looked the other way. I didn't want to hurt him, couldn't bear for him to see the way that I would look at you and the way you look at me. Tra-la-la-la-la, triangle, tra-la-la-la-la, triangle, tra-la-la-la-la, triangle. My life's in such a tangle, tra-la-la-la-la, triangle, tra-la-la-la.
Alamogordo, New Mexico, just a few years ago, while the nation of this world were at war, America's greatest men were working hard then on the things that had never been before. When the Lord held out his mighty hand so that others in this world might understand that wars could never be, and this world it must be free, when they found the mighty, mighty atomic power. Los Alamos, Oak Ridge, and Old Pasco, working in a downpour of rain. In that 0 hour, seeking out some heavenly power, while a star-spangled banner was being played. When the Lord held out his mighty hand so that others in this world might understand that wars could never be, and this world it must be free, when they found the mighty, mighty atomic power. Then a flash, a rumble and roar, out across the desert floor, they had found the atomic power from above. Then God with his mighty hand showed the world it could not stand, when they found the mighty, mighty atomic power. When the Lord held out his mighty hand so that others in this world might understand that wars could never be, and this world it must be free, when they found the mighty, mighty atomic power.
You were mine for just a while, now you're putting on the style.
Hello, my name's Charlton Walker, son of country music legend Charlie Walker. Coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on Way Back. Enjoy the program.
Pick me up on your way down.
Now, friends, I'd like to welcome you all back in here, following the way back with Johnny's salute to our beloved companion and furry mascot, Simbush the Wonder Husky. With that mentioned, we're going to pay tribute to the segment I like to call the Great Canadian Northern Gems by Even Greater Canadian Northern Legends. And with that, let's begin with Gary Buck and a song going out to my good friend up there in Niagara Falls, who I'll be seeing in a couple weeks, Bob Gardner. Bob was good friends with the late, great Gary Buck, singer-songwriter out of Alberta, and Gary's got a version of Farron Young's old classic called An Occasional Wife. Then we'll follow with the pride of the Prince Edward County and the pride of the singing Post family, Norman Post, and his classic I Took a Memory to Lunch. And we'll wrap up with this set with none other than another legend of Canadian country music who celebrates her birthday on 4th of March, and that of course is our beloved Queen of Canadian country music, Miss Carol Baker. And from the Queen, it's going to be an all-time classic called One Is One Too Many. With that, welcome in, friends, and happy listening here on this great channel.
If our life's worth living together, then why let it go. If our love's worth saving, then it needs your attention to grow. It needs more than just an occasional piece of your life. A home just can't stand when it has an occasional wife. The name of the game you're playing must be, just see how far you can go. Oh, but can't you see what it's doing to me and the world we both. If our love's worth saving, then it needs your attention to grow. Well, it needs more than just an occasional piece of your life. No, a home just can't. When it has an occasional
life. Someone I used to know. The years had been kind to her beauty when I first saw her, my heart jumped. Tonight, if I seem disenchanted, I took a memory to lunch. We sat and talked about the old days with misty teardrops in our eyes, and we confirmed an old suspicion. The past grows old, but never dies. The charm that brought our two hearts together, by 4 o'clock, was just too much. The days and years on. I'm sorry.
thanks, I don't drink. Then the strangest look came across his face, and he looked at me and winked. He said, I joined AA just last year. It sure been mighty rough. One drink is one too many, and a thousand's not enough. I said, why come to a place like this? You must be living in pure hell. He said, I played guitar some years ago, and they say I played it well. Music was my only love, but I just had to give it up. One drink is one too many, and a thousand's not enough. So I gave him my guitar, said, won't you please play me a song? Shook his head, said, I just couldn't. I haven't played one for so long. So I coaxed him just a little more, and he finally gave up. Sang a song of one's too many, and a thousand's not enough. So now I understand it as he plays and sings.
Canadian Rockies.
Hi friends, this is Stu Phillips, and you're listening to Way Back with your host, Johnny Woodlaw.
And the golden poppies are blooming.
And now friends, once again, it's that time in the program to welcome very special guests of honor onto the program, none other than our smallest member of our morning team, and that is a little girl named Gunny the Dachshund. Who has a collection of favorites for y'all today of our fallen heroes and the honky-tonk angels who sadly passed away on March 5th of 63. With that, let's begin Gunny's top favorites with Miss Patsy Cline and a classic called Back in Baby's Arms. Then we'll follow with a duet between Cowboy Copas and his daughter, Miss Kathy Hughes Copas, and it's going to be a classic titled Dreaming. And now, Kathy was also married to Randy Hughes, the pilot of the doomed airplane. And then we'll wrap up this set with a beautiful ballad by Hawkshaw Hawkins and a song called Is My Ring on Your Finger. With that, I would like to say thank you to Little Gunny for her contribution to today's program. Welcome in, friends.
Don't know why we fall. Kentucky when the gates swung open wide, that the good Lord's got you playing somewhere up there every night.
once again, it's that time in the program to welcome our very special guest, none other than a direct link to Miss Patsy Cline, and also a dear friend of mine for many years, some 10 years now, we've been doing the program here. With that, it's going to be Miss Patsy Cline's daughter, Miss Julie Fudge. Now, as I welcome Julie to the program in the second half of this two-part interview, we would like to follow this part of the interview with a song that Miss Julie requested I play of her mother's, which is very fitting for this time in history, titled If I Could See the World Through the Eyes of a Child. With that, here now is my dear friend and a true link to the Patsy Cline story, none other than Miss Julie Fudge. Tell us a little bit about the car accident in 1961. Now, this was the first of two accidents that she had, I understand.
Well, I've heard that she had another little accident, but I can't place it. But the significant thing that happened to her was in June of 1961, after she had released I Fall to Pieces. I believe that was I Fall to Pieces had come out while she was there recovering. She was in the car with her brother, and they were going to the store, and it was raining, and there was a lady coming in their direction, and she crossed the center line, and it was a head-on collision, and it injured my uncle. He was driving.
Yes.
And my mom said she was thrown against the windshield, which caused a laceration on her scalp.
And that's where the head bandage come from in different videos.
Right. It went from one side of her forehead to the other.
Okay.
Across her eye. And between that, plus she had, I don't want to misquote, but I believe it was a dislocated hip and maybe an injured wrist. And, of course, maybe a broken rib or two. She was pretty banged up, but the laceration was the most significant injury and the most visual injury. She was in the hospital from June the 14th until July the 17th. So it was a solid month long in the hospital. And I found the bill where they had paid for that day. And it was, I'm not sure, maybe $1,300.
Oh, wow.
That's probably a day.
Yes, exactly.
But of course, she had to recover, and she came home to a wheelchair and would eventually perform her first outing on crutches.
Okay.
It was pretty significant at that time. And, of course, it led to things like my grandmother, my uncle, who was also injured. My grandmother was here and had to stay with us. It was her car they were driving. So she was here in Nashville to visit us. So she was stuck here for a while helping to take care of my brother and I. And, of course, my dad was working. So people don't realize just how this affected us. A lot of people think she was a big star by then, by 1961, being with the Opry and performing everywhere. But the truth be known, we were still in a little bitty house, and my dad was still working and everything for a living. So
she was just an up-and-coming artist. Yeah.
That's right.
Yes,
it was a very crippling summer, but
so,
she did bounce back from it, so.
I see.
And the rest, of course, is history.
Yes, for sure. It has become history, yes, exactly. Now, she in 1961, I understand, or was it 62 that she headlined Las Vegas, the first female artist of country music?
Yes, that timeline runs like, she had the car wreck in the summer of 61.
Yes.
And then in 1962, we moved. That's when, after the car crash, she put out Crazy. So that's when things perked up, and she was able to get the financing to put a down payment on a new house, and we moved into the final home that we would have together. And that was in the spring of 1962. Then, because of this newfound shot at stardom,
mm-hmm.
and the work that it was bringing in, of course, she worked a lot that year, and in November of that year, she was booked in Las Vegas for 35 days.
Yes.
And yes, she was the first country female to have her own show, which at that time was simply in a lounge.
Okay.
And, but she had to line up a band. She had never had her own band, but they did hire some backup players to go with them, and they spent 35 days in Las Vegas at the Mint Casino, which is in the downtown part of Las Vegas. It's not on the big strip.
I see.
It's still there. It's not as recognizable to the naked eye, but it can be researched. You can see where it's at, and they do recognize the fact that she was there. What a lot of people don't realize as well is that she was making $1,000 a show, but she was paying her band. She had to live in a little efficiency hotel because she was living there. And, of course, there were a lot of expenses, management and clothes and cleaners and so forth. So it wasn't just hand over fist.
And it wasn't glamour by any means, no.
They did like 4 shows a day.
Okay.
In the evenings and all. And I'm told that in between the shows, she would take in people across the street. Carl Perkins was performing across the street, so they would watch each other perform when they were able. And she was a big fan of Joe Stafford and Roberta Sherwood. And I know that she went, Dad said she was, he didn't know where she was one afternoon, and she had gone across the street, wherever the place was, and was sitting at this bar, which was in front of the stage, and she was just leaning on her hands with tears in her eyes, watching Roberta Sherwood sing. And so she was very much a fan. I have an autograph where she met Della Reese while she was there, and she asked Miss Della for an autograph. So it was as much fun for her, I'm sure.
As it was for them.
It was long and tiring, and she ended up with Vegas Road at one point. There's a thing that happens to you when you're out there in that dry, warm climate. And so she had Vegas Road for a while, and I think she may have lip-sang a show. But also, I think maybe one show, a young man sat in for her, and his name was Willie Nelson.
Oh, yes.
And he sang one set for her, I believe, and I believe the hotel said, don't do that again.
I see, yes. I see.
It was really interesting. I do remember as a small child going out there and visiting and being at the hotel and going to Hoover Dam and things like that. The one thing that I meant to say, too, is during that 35 days she was out there, that covered Thanksgiving and Christmas. So the house that we had moved into in, like, May of 1962, we had not had any holidays there because we were in Las Vegas in that year.
And then she was killed, of course, the following spring, so you never had a Christmas at the new house.
Never celebrated the holidays there, and actually she only got to be in the house for like 10 months.
Is that right? I see.
It's still a beautiful home. The city had placed a marker in front of that home, a historic marker. It was very much an honor to see that happen.
For sure, for sure. And so, of course, March 5th of 1963 is etched in everybody's memory as the tragic accident that killed your mother and Hawkshaw and Cowboy, as well as Randy. But I understand that leading up to that show in Kansas City, she was not too fond about going, so the record books say.
Well, I think what you have to think about is they had actually played dates before that. In fact, the day before the show, when everybody was headed to the show in Kansas City, they were coming home from a date in Birmingham, I believe.
Yes.
And I know it was a southern date like that. They came into town, and my dad had been with her on previous show, but on this last show, which was a last-minute scheduling because it was a fundraiser, when you see a poster that says Patsy Cline in 1963 in Kansas City, those are not actual posters. There were no actual posters like that. This was a fundraiser for a deceased disc jockey that everyone knew.
Cactus Jack.
Exactly. Yes. Cactus Jack is for their benefit. And so she was added as a last minute, yes, I can make it. And there were several other entertainers on that same show that way outshadowed her at that point in time. So it wasn't a big planned ordeal or scheduled thing. So they decided to all go, and they came back to Nashville, and Dad stayed here because my brother and I were at home, and my brother was getting kind of stuffy, and he'd had a cold and everything. And so she went to do the date, which was only going to be the one night. And then, of course, the weather held them up, and they were a couple of days.
Yes.
And my dad was home with us when we were expecting them to fly in that night to a smaller airport there, not too far from us. And, of course, he was there from then on. But that was just not scheduled thing, not a big show. It was a last minute. In fact, she had flown with Randy, of course, as her manager, who flew a plane, and Hawkshaw and Cowboy Cobus had joined him on the plane, and they were all going out there. She could have ridden home in an automobile with Dottie West and her husband Bill, but she thought, as they all did, that they would get home faster in the plane. And since the children were here and she was tired, and
it was something she had done before, they never thought that this would happen, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. This was just going to be a really quick trip, an extra day.
Exactly.
And weekend. And of course, it forever changed so many lives.
For sure, yes. And what are your thoughts now, 62 years after, of how she's remembered? If I may say, she's immortalized like Hank Williams in Death.
Yes, it's kind of an iconic reaction that the world gets when you lose someone, especially if you lose them suddenly or tragically.
Mm-hmm.
And the first few years that she was gone, she was simply that, a singer who had passed away. It wasn't until the 80s that she had a resurgence when Loretta Lynn's Coal Miner's Daughter came out. A lot of people rediscovered Patsy Cline at that time. And then that led to the movie Sweet Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, it seems like someone had opened the door and said, remember these? They really have remembered. And it's really amazing here, as you say, here we are 62 years later, and there are new fans, people discovering her music all over again. And it's a wonderful thing. It's very humbling. There's days when I think, you know, how did I get into this? I simply was born, and I didn't pick whose family I was in.
That's true, yes,
but,
exactly.
Yeah, but I do feel very fortunate to have been around the people I have and to have heard the stories and shared the memories. And I've really gotten to experience all the love and admiration that she would have experienced.
For sure. Well, with that, Julie, I'll close it there, but it's been a pleasure talking to you once again. Let's do it maybe in the fall or out next year for sure, because it'll be 10 years that we've been doing this celebration to your mother and the others as of next year.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, Johnny.
Yes,
year, of course, in on Labor Day weekend here, we always gather with the Patsy Cline Fan Club in Patsy's hometown of Winchester, Virginia, and we have information on our Facebook pages about that. Yes, we're really excited with these new releases. We'd love to just share it and just enjoy the music with everybody. So anytime we can sit and chat with you, you just let us know.
Sounds good, Julie. And now, in closing, I will ask you to pick one of your mother's songs to remember her by.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll tell you one that's been on my mind for a while, because it kind of suits what I do, and that is, If I Could See the World Through the Eyes of a Child.
Amen. Yes.
It's a wonderful small cut that she had.
One of her most heartfelt and touching songs at this time, for sure, yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's true. If we could all just look at the world through the eyes of a child, we might see something totally different.
Thank you once again, Julie, and you have a wonderful day, and stay safe out there.
Thank you, Johnny. Good to talk to you.
Yes, God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Be what a wonderful world this would be.
Now, friends, before we send us into the third and final hour of the program here this morning, I would like to play a classic by a man who we've been speaking of a lot about today. That is none other than the pilot of the doomed airplane crash that happened in 1963 on March 5th, that being Mr. Randy Hughes, who also is remembered for his work with being Miss Patsy's manager. With that, I would also like to play a song that Randy recorded titled My Little Country Rose. Now, Randy Hughes, in my opinion, was also a great singer, as much as Hawkshaw or Cowboy or any of the others were associated with this story. With that, I'd like to play a classic recording of My Little Country Rose, and I do suggest that if anyone's interested, they look into his songs, which were more on the novelty side of country music, but included songs like The Tattooed Lady and then When Elephants Nest in Trees. With that, we'll be back following this. Send us into the third and final hour.
There's a little country road out on Route 1, and I got a date tonight when the milking's done. Underneath the old oak tree, there I'll propose. I know she'll agree with me, my little country road. Now she's got all the glamour that pictures rave about. Left it up to nature, it didn't leave nothing now. She's so sweet from head to toe, and I love her, goodness knows. Soon I'm gonna marry her, my little country rose. Can't wait till she's mine, my little country rose. She's my little country rose, the sweetest in the land. I've done bought the wedding ring to place upon her hand. Yellow hair all tied in bows, ruby lips and freckle nose. Soon I'm gonna marry her, my little country rose.
Well, now, friends, it's once again that time. We reached the end of another hour here at the program this morning. With that said, I would like to send us into the third and final hour of this program here this morning with none other than a collection of great gospel-inspired songs. We'll remember the man who did a lot for gospel music, Mr. Cowboy Copas, and a song called The Hem of His Garment. Then we'll follow with Hawkshaw Hawkins and one of only two gospel-related songs that he ever did studio versions of, titled Empty Mansions. And if there's enough time, will send us into the very top of the third and final hour with Miss Patsy Cline, who I understand always dreamt of doing a gospel recording full album, but it never came about because of her untimely death. But with that, it's going to be just a closer walk with thee, and that is also featuring the Jordanaires. With that, I would hope that y'all stay around for the third and final hour of this program this morning, and welcome in, friends.
Once I was sinking so low in sin's clay, I felt so depressed in my soul. But Jesus was passing along that way, seeking those to be made whole. I touched the hem of his garment, and joy it brought to my soul. And I was made happy and whole. He made the lame walk and the deaf ear to hear. He taught the blind man to see. And he's still passing this way. Every day, the same he will do for me. I touched the hem of his garment, and joy it brought to my soul. I touched the hem of his garment, and I was made happy and whole. Sick of traveling life's road, you have no peace in your soul. And if you're carrying too heavy a load, your burden on him can roll. I touched the hem of his garment, and joy it brought to my soul. I touched the hem of his garment, and I was made happy and whole.
Here I labor and toil as I look for a home, just a humble abode among men. While in heaven a mansion is waiting for me, and a gentle voice pleading, come in.
There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of life's trouble, somewhere. Someday,
when my labor and toiling have ended below, and my hand shall lie folded in rest, I'll exchange this old home for a mansion up there, and invite the archangel as guest.
There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of life's trouble, somewhere, many friends and dear loved ones will someday. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of life's trouble, somewhere, many friends and dear loved ones
will welcome me there.
Near the door of that mansion someday.
Walk, 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 walk. Just a closer walk with thee.
I am weak, but thou art strong.
Just a closer walk,
dear Lord.